It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Oh, that's us. Sounds like a party in here. You gotta love that. We once had a guest who at one point, there was a bunch of people in here and there was beer and wine, and the guy said, you know, this is the best bar in town. Thank you.
We agree.
It's my favorite.
Always tip your producer. It's the Drive Brouhaha with Herlinda and, of course, Mark Carpenter. Today we're featuring the great Ramon Tamayo from Russian River Brewing. Sorry I didn't recognize you, man. Last time you didn't have a baby on your arm.
I know, right?
Kind of threw me off.
It was a little bit lighter.
Cutest baby I'd ever seen. Oh, my God.
And, Ramon, you're working right under Vinny over there.
Yep, working right under Vinny, Russian River. It's been great. Just moved 4 months ago, and great team, two wonderful people,
Vinny and Natalie.
They're great. They're really an amazing couple.
Now you got the new Windsor Brewery to work with, and that's so cool.
Yeah, state of the art. Got to come check it out. Yeah. It's a beautiful facility.
We broadcast live there from the opening week.
Almost a year ago. Yeah.
You know, Ramon used to work with me at Anchor, and so now he's taking all that knowledge and experience. He'll really help Russian River out.
He's stealing all your stuff.
They stand a chance of making it.
I would agree now. You know,
also joining us all the way from France is a Paris brewer, Jean-Michel.
Mike.
Otherwise,
you're going by Mike.
Mike.
Well, you know, this is very confusing. Yeah. Herlinda, you sent him Jean-Michel that he puts on my thing, and then...
There's a story behind that.
Okay, Mark Gilmore is here.
Mike Gilmore.
Mike or Mark?
Mike.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. He's got a thing called Brew Unique Paris, and since I'm fluent in the language, I will read some stuff from the website. Un Louis unique ou realiser la bière de son choix.
Perfect.
Je m'appelle Steve. That's all I know.
Je veux une bière.
All right. So, Mike, explain the Jean-Michel thing.
Start out. There's a lot of confusion because I know a lot of people and meet a lot of people through social media, so I kind of hid my identity a little bit and did a straight French translation of my full name, John Michael Gilmore, translates to Jean-Michel Gil.
And I'm assuming you speak French a lot better than I do.
Probably. Yeah.
How long have you been over there?
This trip is kind of a tribute to living there for 20 years.
Wow.
And finally going somewhere other than the Northeast, where I grew up in Boston, and ended up back in New York, New Jersey for a while before going to Paris. And, I've been there 20 years.
Wow.
The first trip going anywhere other than Northeast. It's unbelievable.
It must be cool living in Paris. That's all I can say.
It's better in the last 6 years because we've actually got some good breweries going now. So,
yeah, people don't usually think of France and beer, but I have toured France for beer and distilleries as well, but you still don't think of Paris that way, though.
I have friends here in the States that organize beer travel, guided tours around Belgium and they're including much more French breweries into their Belgian and France circuit for beer travel.
But you started brewing in Boulder, Colorado, which is like a classic beer city state, you know.
They originated in the 70s, actually.
Which brewery was it?
Boulder Brewery.
Oh, I bet you know them, Mark, right?
Oh, yeah. They were pretty early on. Yeah. It might have been 79. They just got into the 70s.
I have a t-shirt with like the original date on the bottom of it. I think it's 78, 79.
Yeah, it was a friend of a friend started that.
Yeah, it was two professors from CU Boulder that... And apparently they started in a goat shed.
Yeah.
In Boulder County.
So did we.
All right.
And then they built a production brewery, and I happened to move from Boston to Boulder in 1991. And drove to the brewery to apply for the job to be a part-time bottler. Drove my car home, and the car died. My bike showed up the next day.
Perfect.
And
And it was snowing.
That was it. No, it was only September, so it was a little bit before snow.
But, you know, Boulder had always had a very hazy beer. And they tried to make light of it and called it the ugly beer. And at events, they would give it out in a paper bag so you didn't have to look at it. They were so far ahead of the curve, you know.
You remember
they
that?
They couldn't sell it.
The funny thing about that story is I do remember, like, that marketing thing. But it was before I moved to Boulder. Because the funniest thing, driving up to Boulder Brewery to apply for the job, when I saw the logo, I drank this beer in Boston.
Yeah.
And then I remember that whole ad campaign about the ugly beer with the paper bag. It was before my time, but I knew about it.
That's clever.
Well, it didn't work. They had a real problem. Today, you know, everybody wants a hazy beer.
But now I'm thinking, it made a connection, is that the ugly beer and the brown paper bag over the bottle, Unknown Comic.
Yes.
It was probably around the same time as the Unknown Comic.
It was, and I think that's what gave me the idea, was the Unknown Comic.
Of course.
So funny. Yeah. I just judged the California Craft Brewers Cup, the first one ever. In Sacramento. It's a shoot-off from the California State Fair. And then you know how we always have the Craft Beer Summit on here every year. So this is the competition for the Craft Beer Summit that Natalie always comes on and talks about with Tom McCormick.
Yeah.
And we probably – I judged hazy beers – and double IPAs and triples.
Wow.
And the hazies. By the time I was done, my mouth, like, but there's some that were really, really bad and some that were really, really great, but nothing was in the middle. It was very interesting. So some people are, like, doing it super duper well, like Vinny does at Russian River.
You either nail it or you really miss it.
Yeah. What did you call those beers, Mark? You used to call those beers, those hazy beers?
I don't know what
I think you guys called them lazy beers a long time ago.
No.
You got to skip one process.
Yeah,
you know?
That was it. I like that name, but that's not mine.
Cheaper beer to produce.
Yeah, it was harder for us to get Liberty Ale to clear up.
Yeah. Mike Gilmore is here on the Drive Hot Monk Brew Ha Ha. He has a place called Brew Unique Paris where he lives. Also, Ramon Tamayo from Russian River Brewing back with us. And Mark, talk about you and Ramon working together at Anchor in San Francisco. And you were mentioning before we got on the air, you guys were talking about it.
Yeah.
And you said something about
the difference.
Back at Anchor. Yeah, explain the difference.
Yeah, Ramon came to work for us. I don't even remember when, but he was started out in the bottle shop with everybody else.
Started on the bottling line, yeah.
Worked his way up to the brew house where everybody wants to be for some reason. But,
it's a glamorous position.
Anchor has a classic old brew house, all copper vessels from a German brewery. And it's all hand done. There's if you need steam, you open a valve and let the steam in. If you need water, you open the valve and let the water in.
Control it all by hand.
And I was at an event once, in fact, the Great American Beer Festival, and this guy comes over and he says, "Well, I have a brewery in Tennessee or something." And he says, "What program do you use for your brew house?" And I said, "Well, we don't. It's all by hand." He says, "You can't run a brewery without a computer." I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, they did for thousands of years.
Yeah. Well, we had a computer. It was just for surfing the web, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I see all my brewers just looking up random stuff. Lots of Craigslist and...
So that was Ramon's background.
Look out. You're about to get in trouble if we don't stop.
Doing it all by hand and taking temperature by hand, sticking a thermometer in the kettle when you need to.
That's how I
do. So now it's all computerized.
That's how you...
At Russian River, they have an automation system. It's not 100% automated. You know, there's somebody monitoring it, manually adding salts and hops.
Yeah,
it's just the brew house is automated.
Automation.
Yeah. It's lots of manual work, and it's a really great crew and great owners. Natalie and Vinny are amazing.
So when you went to go brew with Michael and Paris, Ramon, what was that like differently from brewing here in the U.S.? So because like, if you have a unique situation. Yeah, you have a unique situation at Brew Unique, which is why it's called that. Can you tell us how that works? It's a trip.
Yeah, well, just adding one thing first is that I came from the same school copper clad, you know, copper domed you know, brew house at Boulder, everything manual, same thing. And that's I've never had a computerized brewery. No.
You still don't?
No. Still don't. And now we're brewing home brew. We're brewing 5 gallon batches.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching people how to brew. And the minimum that I want people to walk out of my shop understanding is seeing beer in a different light and just understanding what the ingredients are. And they come in, they weigh their own ingredients, they weigh their own malt, they crush it with the mill, they weigh their own hops, the whole thing. And so it was great. Yeah. When Ramon did finally get to brew with me in Paris, it was great because we met their trip prior to that. And he didn't quite lead on to like his place at Anchor. He said, I'm a brewer at Anchor. Yeah, whatever. And so we became good friends and we stayed in contact. And when he came, I was like, you have to come brew. I was like, just create 3 recipes. And he just said, boom. There you go.
Yeah, created
put
3.
Downstairs.
Tried to make a steam
There's
beer
the malt,
out there.
Do whatever you want.
Did
it's
you?
All manual. It's all hands on. It's like people make a beer, and that's the thing that I want people to like. I want people to really experience brewing.
So these are homebrewers coming in.
No, these are just anybody.
Really?
They're not homebrewers. They're anybody
it's
and
just
everybody.
Anybody. It's kind of like that place in Oakland.
And there used to be one in Sacramento that did that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, brew it yourself.
Yeah.
So brew on premise, you brew. There's lots of different ways you can. And Brasse votre propre bière. Brew your own beer. Come and brew a beer.
Is that popular then? And what styles are they doing?
Yeah, well, I started it a little over four and a half years ago, and I've had 3 people copy me. So yeah, it's caught on.
I know in Canada it was very big because you could do it and save a lot of money on taxes.
And
is that the case in
Paris?
Well,
no, it's more that you don't have space. Because the concept pretty much did start in like the 90s in Canada.
Yeah.
And it didn't really make the transition down to the States. I know that there have been a few, but it just never really took off.
No, I think it was the money savings really made it in Canada.
I think that was part of it. But what made us work is the fact that people live in small apartments in Paris.
Yes.
So you don't have space to homebrew. You don't want to make a mess. You know, your wife doesn't want the smell.
And so, yeah. And so your husband.
Whatever. Your partner. Your partner doesn't want to deal with this. Yeah. And so, so we offer a space that you can come in. You can brew whatever you want.
Speaking of, are very many women coming in and brewing?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, when I was there, there were quite a few women brewing that day.
The best story is that early on, I had a woman contact me, and just like by messaging or emails or whatever. She came, and I had no idea, but it was like 12 lesbian women, and they had there was the most animated night up until then. Anyway,
nice.
Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
And it was unbelievable. And like she was like choosing really like really cool beers, and they were coming up with names for like really like kind of dodgy names, but and they just had the best time. And I have women that book like for their husbands,
like gift certificates and things,
so they'll come. And I've had like women come, a whole group of women, to brew beer for their wedding.
That's a good bachelorette
party. Organizing a thing for everybody, the whole like bride party. To come and brew beer, and that's the beer they serve at the wedding.
So what styles has been really popular?
Is
it like classic Saison, like we think of?
I do propose Saison. I propose a hoppy Saison, a normal Saison, white IPA, black IPA, American IPA, English IPA. I propose almost 30 different recipes to my clients.
Wow.
And if they want to do something like the most bizarre that didn't quite work out the best either – was beets, acetic acid, and kiwis fermented with baker's yeast.
Oh.
All combined in the
fermented
same
beer. Fermented kiwis,
in one beer.
In one beer. It wasn't the best. It was drinkable. I was happy that I made a drinkable beer.
Anything's drinkable.
They made a drinkable beer. But, it wasn't.
How do you convert the starch in beets?
The beets were for color?
Yeah. Well, it gave color, but it definitely added some sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just completely experimental.
So Ramon, what's new at Russian River, especially in Windsor? I mean, that place is so amazing now.
Yeah, new in Windsor. We got few new beers out, actually.
Yes, Ramon's
they got a Hella's Lager that just came out called Velvet Glow. It's a homage to another Grace Brothers beer. Super tasty.
We're drinking a Grace Brothers beer
the
right
Happy
now.
Hops is another former Grace Brothers. Just came out with a good beer for good wine to help our vintners get through the harvest. Yeah, got to drink some beer to harvest those grapes and do the crush. So that's a pale ale. It's very tasty. It's got a lot of citrus aroma, not super bitter.
What beers did you make in Paris with him, and how did you find out about him?
Yeah, so the first time that I went to Paris, me and my wife, all we do is drink and eat. So, now we got a baby, so yeah, diaper changing. But we found this little craft brewery. It was called The Frog, and we went there, had some of their beers. I ended up meeting the brewer who was on staff right there.
Be careful what you call her.
Sinead, but I like to call her Granny because that's what everybody was calling her back then. So Granny, showed me around a really crazy little system that they had
in the basement. Yeah.
These stairs were like straight vertical.
Now I had to bring the malt deliveries down.
Yeah, building really old?
She had to carry the spent grain up
Parisian
those stairs.
Building,
it was ridiculous. Like she was amazing brewer.
You had to bring
she
the malt
was super cool
between the cellar tanks as well. After that, to the malt room.
It was one of the craziest setups I've seen ever.
It was the original brewery of a chain of brew pubs that I ran for 13 years.
How old is the building?
Oh, the building is old. It's like central Paris, so
like 1700s.
No. 1800s. Probably like the Haussmannian era of like 1900.
Like the Art Deco,
typical, like, it's near Châtelet, like, center of Paris.
Okay, so Notre Dame was the biggest news of Paris
I was actually leaving for Dublin that day, and I had a really late flight and walked by there as they were putting up the flames.
You saw the Notre Dame Cathedral on fire?
Devastating. No, I didn't see it. I saw the smoke.
The smoke.
And the water.
That's brutal.
Oh, it was horrible. And then I went away for a couple of days, came back and took a look at it. But you would be surprised how much structure is left. It was really just the wooden.
It was all under construction, scaffolding everywhere.
Scaffolding for the project they were working on is still there. And all the wood that was underneath is just gone. So it was just like a frame, a structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
But they said those trees, they can't get trees long because it's right from the 1200s. Yeah. They can't get trees tall.
The beams could never be replaced with the same quality of wood.
Wow.
Yeah.
1,000 years old.
All right. We're talking to Mike Gilmore, who we thought was calling himself Jean-Michel. But we figured
some
all that out.
Some people know me as Jean-Michel.
Ramon Michel is here.
Yes, right.
Ramon Tamayo from Russian River Brewing, of course, her Linda and Mark Carpenter. It is the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha, also brought to you by the Beverage People. We'll talk about them in just a bit. That place is amazing, and it kind of slides into what Mike does.
I was just going to say, Mike, maybe if you have time, you don't have to commit to that right now on air, but
yes, he does.
You might enjoy the Beverage People. It's this amazing homebrew shop that also has equipment and classes for wine, cheese, beer, and cider.
I have to see before Cedra. I do, actually.
You should check it out.
It's not far from here.
It's the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha, brought to you in part by the Beverage People. We'll talk about them more in a minute because I love the way it relates to what Mike Gilmore is doing in Paris. And he's in the studio with us, along with, of course, Herlinda and Mark Carpenter and Ramon Tamayo from Russian River Brewing. And where were we? Where are we? What's going on?
We were talking about, like, Did I tell you how I met him? How I found out about him?
Oh,
about
this is great.
Can we say that on the radio?
In French.
The whole story.
I'll make it quick. I was at a potluck. I'm in a cookbook club because, you know, I cook. And I'm in a cookbook club, and somebody tells them this one guy from Oakland about the show. And he says, oh, I have a friend of mine who brews in Paris who's coming here. And I'm like, oh, my God. We want him on the show. And then
it was all quite organic.
Yeah.
It just kind of snowballed.
Yeah.
Because my friend who was coming to visit, like, that instigated me coming to visit, was just there in May, in Paris in May. And so it was, okay, I'll come visit you.
What cool. club is it? A cookbook club?
And so like, well, if I go to Oakland, then I can go up to Petit Thumann, see Ramon. And I get a message out of nowhere on a Sunday afternoon. By the way, you're going to be on the radio. What do you mean I'm going to be on the radio?
Oui, oui.
My friend Herlinda. I was like, okay. So I get a message. Okay, check out her and I send the message. And I'm sending messages with you for like half an hour.
Yeah, we were chatting.
And I'm like, well, how do you know Terrell? Because Terrell, my friend Terrell in Oakland, basically he was going to be a chef at a brew pub that I was the head brewer in New York in the mid-90s. Okay. And he's from New Orleans originally, but he lives in California, and then he was in New York. And I'm thinking, you guys are like old friends or whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah, we know each other from a cookbook club. Like, all right, that's cool. He's a cook, so all right, you're friends. And then we finish our whole thing, and I say, yeah, Terrell, thanks a lot for hooking me up with Linda. I think I'm going to be on the radio. Okay, cool. I was like, so how do you know? I just met her yesterday. Okay. Everything seems to be fine. And so, yeah.
Synchronicity, it's all about that.
Yeah, it was just, it was.
Well, then he tells
random.
Me, he goes, hey, do you know Ramon Tamayo?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. He's like, I'm going to be staying with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he had planned to stay with me for a few days and just worked out amazing that we had the opportunity to come on here and talk some beer.
Just hanging out with the brewer. There was like a local brewers get together the other night at Russian River.
Yep.
Got to meet a lot of the local brewers.
What do you think of Russian River's new brewery and the whole house there?
It's okay. No, I was quite impressed. The as I refer to it, the Church of Coolship.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
a pretty cool little
ultimate,
room right
ultimate
there.
Ultimate destination on our tour. And that's some good funky beers up there. And, yeah, it was quite an impressive visit. So.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, he got to meet a lot of the Sonoma County brewers and, you know, talk shop and build relationships. That's what beer is all about is building
we're in
relationships,
the
yeah.
We're in the fun business.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Mike Gilmore has a place in Paris called Brew Unique Paris, and people come in and brew their own beers with you.
Yeah, not just brew. We do a lot of, you know, our core base is general public coming into brew beer. We do a lot of team buildings with companies that come in groups.
Makes sense.
Stuff like that, like for weddings. Just had a good friend, happened to be a good friend, come in. He paid for his sister, who's getting married, to come in and brew a bunch of beer for their
wedding.
What
about tours, like all these beer tours that come in? Do they come in and do it?
We're too small to give a tour. You walk in the front door, you
see No, the people from tours come.
Oh, like tours coming like through. No, because people are actually coming to brew the beer.
So they need to be around.
They need, yeah, like it's a four-hour course, which is... It's impressive in itself that we're doing
it.
Yeah,
it's pretty fast for
a little
5-gallon run.
Yeah, we were there, Ramon. We were doing, like, we did about maybe 6 or 7 brews at the same time.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I was just there to drink beer.
With, like, 14, 15 people and get it
so
about 4 hours.
So if I went to Paris and I could go and do a 4-hour class with you, and then the next time I come back, a few months later, I can try the beer.
Yeah.
Cool.
So basically, you have to put it in bottles a month later. So the lead time between brewing a batch of beer and drinking the batch of beer is about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's not a target audience for tourists. Mm-hmm. It's really local Parisians that we're looking at.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or companies that are coming through to brew a bunch of beer, and then they get all this beer to have, like, you know, parties at their company and whatever. But well, also, we are the go-to home brew shop in Paris as well.
So they can if get you're interested in brewing beer or making wine at home, you could go to Paris and see Mike, or you can go to Piner Road in Santa Rosa and see the beverage people. They'll teach you how to brew beer, make wine, make cider, mead, kombucha, and kefir.
Kefir.
Cheese. Olives. All sorts of fermented food. And they have other hobbies available, too. They're on Piner Road in Santa Rosa, Sonoma County's fermentation headquarters since 1980. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. They invite you to their store on Piner Road. Beverage people can help you craft your next beer masterpiece because their goal is to ensure that you succeed and have fun with your hobby. That's why they stock fresh, high-quality ingredients and well-made equipment. And they have very competitive prices. They always put customers first at the beverage people. They won't let you make any costly mistakes. You can check them at thebeveragepeople.com. Better yet, go to their store. They're at 1845 Piner Road in Santa Rosa, the beverage people since 1980.
You know, Steve, one of the things they feature that I really like is you can go and get a recipe for one of the Hen House beers. So if you're
Yeah,
so if you go in there, you can take that recipe home. They'll give you the ingredients.
You don't have to pay anything extra?
No. They give you the kit with the ingredients.
Wow.
And so you can actually make a beer that then you can see how close you got to the Hen House beer. And for a beginning brewer, that's a great thing. You know, you can see how well you did.
Because that's one of the biggest challenges, the biggest hurdles for a brewer starting out is not knowing the recipe.
Yes.
So we kind of pride ourselves on as well is that even just our regular customers that come and they just want to brew a batch of beer, we propose almost 30 different recipes that they can choose from. But anybody wants to come and do something out of the ordinary, we'll let them do it. And somebody that's never brewed, they haven't even done a class at my place, but they just they want to brew a batch of beer at home, they'll come and we'll take the time. We'll explain it. We'll give them one of our recipes that if they're not brewing the same volume, then we'll scale it down for them. And just we want people to go forward. Like this is we're sharing something.
Yeah, it's great. That's exactly what these guys are doing.
We haven't been doing it since 1980, but we're the first ones to do it in Paris. So
that's terrific.
I'm kind of proud of that. So
that is Mike Gilmore, Brew Unique Paris, and Ramon Tamayo from Russian River Brewing is here as well.
Do you know how many breweries there are in Paris right now?
Oh God,
good question.
Good question. Yeah. I'm not a numbers person.
Over 20.
It's got to be around under 20 for sure.
Oh, there's more than 20. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of it's because I went through the whole like first wave of the 90s in the U.S.
Yeah,
I can see where things are going, and there's a lot of people just nano brewing, home brewing, and selling at the corner bar. And people are making the transition successfully and some less successfully, I have to say. And there are a good handful of people that have started just basically by homebrewing and have opened large-scale production breweries. In the Paris region, there's not too many in Paris, like, center city.
Yeah.
But around the suburbs is a lot popping
it's
up.
It's got to be
and
an
making really good beer.
And,
really good
an
beer.
Expensive an environment for opening a brewery.
Yeah, Paris, inner city Paris rents are not cheap. I got into a neighborhood that's in transition. There's a high-end, he just actually got a first Michelin star restaurant. A little plug for my friend Greg Machon, Frenchie. Frenchy restaurants quite well known in the foodie industry, that foodie world, and so he's right around the corner, and like that kind of started developing. It's the old textile neighborhood where I'm in actually, and it's just in complete transformation, and I got into a great location at a really reasonable price, we'll have to say.
What arrondissement are you in there?
Second.
Nice.
So if you know Paris, like it's a snail. So the lower the number, the more central you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in the second arrondissement, right near Châtelet. For anybody that might know,
what's Châtelet?
Châtelet. Good question.
It's a tube stop.
Times, so.
Yeah, it's a tube stop. It's actually a major crossroads for all of the Paris Metro. The suburban trains go through there. A lot of the inner city,
like
trains
our Grand Central Station in New York,
yeah,
kind of.
But that's, and there's a shopping center there. And the whole thing was just revamped in the last, like, I don't know, it's probably been going on about 5 years. They're just finishing the construction site there. And it's completely changed. It's much more inviting, much more green. But there's a shopping center there. But the original Chateau de Léal, the halls, Léal, Chateau de Léal, was the downtown central provisions for restaurants.
That's where Anthony Bourdain used to talk about, right? His restaurant, Léal, was named after that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
We were just actually with another plug. My friend Sticky Peaches, who's a street artist from Montreal. We just
Sticky
put
Peaches,
in,
they're yeah, at Hot Sticky, Monk Saturday.
All right. Yeah.
But yeah, he just said, because I was helping him do it, but we put an Anthony Bourdain street art on the side of the Marché des Enfants Rouges, which is the best, like, corralled indoor market that you can eat at in Paris. It's, like, old school. It's so good.
Better
Marché,
than Les
Enfants Rouges.
Oh, yeah. I went there. That's the guy has the best sandwiches in the best sandwiches in the world, somebody
that's
told
right,
me.
That apartment you guys rented. And we went for the best tacos you had in Paris as well.
That's true.
Yes.
Probably the only
Candelaria.
Authentic Mexican food, probably. Yeah.
Hey, Ramon, you are working directly with the great Vinny Chilurzo at Russian River Brewing.
Yes.
Are you mostly in Windsor these days?
Yeah, I'm pretty much basically only in Windsor. We still have the pub facility in Santa Rosa,
sure,
but I just don't get to go down there and brew on that little system. I'm up with the big boys on that system trying to bang out a bunch of beer, and we do. We definitely pump that thing up to the maximum production right now.
How much more has it increased from the production, like, 2 years ago?
2 years ago, Russian River? Probably, you know, at Ferdinand Court, they were, I don't know, maybe making, like, 10 to 20. This year, we're probably
10 to 20 what?
20,000 barrels.
Okay.
This year we're probably on track to do about, I don't know, 40 to 50,000 barrels.
Wow.
So
that's a lot of beer.
Quite a bump up, and it's been great. I think, you know, it's just getting more beer out there to our same accounts. We're not really opening up new markets that much. It's just now the beer is more readily available for people to take home and consume, and I think that's always been a challenge for Russian River is to have enough supply, and I think the Windsor facility has definitely been able to help them keep up with demand. Still, or you know, there's more demand than supply, and that's a great thing, you know.
Yeah,
that is, it's a beautiful brewery.
Yeah.
Ramon Tomeo from Russian River Brewing, Mike Gilmore from Brew Unique Paris. Good to see you, Ramon. Great to meet you, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks for
great
having
to be here.
Story.
Yeah.
All right. And Herlinda and, of course, Mark Carpenter.
So Natalie just sent a text. That, she says, we are brewing about 37,000 barrels this weekend. Is that
this year? This weekend?
This year.
This
weekend? This year.
Tonight, Ramon, you better
tonight,
get out of here, man.
They're probably mad at me. They're like, where's Ramon at?
Well, Natalie just sent me a text. I didn't ask her. Which means that Vinny and Natalie are listening. They are listening, so you can do a shout out and say
I love working there. It's the best place in the world, Natalie.
All right, kids. Good to see everybody. Thanks so much. We're going
to I just wanted to add a nice little shout out to Vinny and Natalie at Russian River for having me the other night, because I'm certainly not a Sonoma brewer, and
another
they were nice enough to let Ramon drag me along, and it was a great little visit.